The word of God for our meditation this morning is recorded by Saint John in chapter 20 of his gospel, beginning at verse 19. This is what God's word says. When it was evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because they feared the Jews. Jesus came, stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins, they are retained." But Thomas, called Twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "If I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger into the mark. A week later, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believe." Thomas responded to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is God's word. Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart be ever pleasing in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Dear Christian friends, imagine with me, if you will, for just a moment, that you're walking through Boston on a warm September day, and the year is 1783. On your way to work, you stop at the local newspaper stand, and you see across every paper, in large letters, the headline that reads, "American Independence Won. Treaty of Paris Ratified." The revolution has officially come to an end. The war is over. Independence is ours. The tyranny of the British Empire, with all of their unfair taxation and every other abuse and complaint, is removed and thrown off. A new country, legally born. What a time to be alive. Can you imagine the celebrations in the streets of Boston? And we find ourselves today in a similar situation, except the victory we celebrate, the end of the war we celebrate, is not a physical war against a foreign power. It's not a physical or earthly war at all. This Easter season, we celebrate a spiritual victory, a victory over the enemies that have accosted us since the beginning of time, against Satan and his legions of demons, against the sinful nature that lives in our own hearts and against the world. And the headline for this war, the headline that defines our lives, the headline that should be plastered on our newspapers, comes from the mouth of Jesus himself. "Peace be with you." You heard that headline first announced to a room full of men who were scared. They had sequestered themselves in an upper room outside the city of Jerusalem. They had hidden themselves away and locked the doors to a room of men who had followed this itinerant preacher, this rabbi, for 3 years, who had just been executed. You know these men as the disciples, the best friends, students, and followers of Jesus Christ. And on this first day of the week, a meal Jesus has been killed. They're in an upper room, a room full of fear, of darkness, of uncertainty, perhaps even of shame for the way they had behaved when they saw their Savior die. And Jesus, the light of the world, enters into that dark place to cast everything that was in darkness into light. And he pronounces to those trembling men, "Peace be with you." They still couldn't quite wrap their minds around what had happened. They knew, because they had heard Jesus' words. He had told them months prior, "I am going to be handed over into the hands of sinners. The Son of God, the Son of Man, must die and will." They had heard the testimony of Mary as she went to the tomb and came back and told them what they saw. Peter and John had seen the empty tomb themselves. They knew, but that knowledge had not yet crossed the chasm from the head to the heart. They knew, but they didn't believe. And so Jesus comes to them in their weakness, and he gives them what they need. "Peace be with you." And at that, the disciples rejoiced. They celebrated. But there was one who wasn't there. Thomas, one of the 12, there on the first day of the week, hadn't gathered with the other 10. Where was he? What was so important that he wasn't there? God doesn't tell us. He doesn't tell us if Thomas had self-isolated in grief or depression. He doesn't tell us if Thomas done to stave off the pain and heartbreak of what he witnessed on Friday when he saw his Lord die. We don't know what it was, but we do know that Thomas missed out on something wonderful because he wasn't with his brothers that first Sunday. And when the disciples, when they told Thomas what they had seen, "We've seen the Lord. He's risen from the dead," Thomas didn't believe it. "If I don't see him, I'm not going to believe it. I have to put my fingers in the holes in his hand. I'm going to stick my hand in his side. If I don't see it, if I don't feel him, if I don't witness it, I cannot believe it." A brother who was hurting deeply, having witnessed the pain of Good Friday. And the Lord would have been justified to leave him on read, to say, "Nope, Thomas, you're going to have to believe. You're going to have to live by faith, not by sight. You're going to have to trust what the other disciples have told you." But he doesn't. He has compassion on his brother who is hurting and struggling. And so a week later, he shows up. He appears to the 11 now, Thomas there with him. And the headline that he has for Thomas, That declaration is the same headline he had for the other 10. Peace be with you. It's the headline that he has for we who doubt, for we who struggle with grief and pain, for we who feel despair. And his resurrection from the dead proves it. That he really was the Messiah, the Savior that he said he was. It proves that when he says, "It is finished," he meant it. God accepted his sacrifice. That you are finished. Your sins are paid for. Your guilt is removed. And his resurrection proves that there is coming a day when you will no longer be accosted by the salacious temptations of Satan, because he will be locked into the lake of fire for eternity. There will come a day soon where no longer will you have to wrestle against anger in your heart for control of your words, because you will be permanently purified. There will come a day soon when you will be completely cleansed and the struggle against the corruption in your heart will end. His resurrection guarantees what his declaration means. Peace be with you. It is not simply the peace of sitting in the sand with your feet up on the Florida coastline. It is not the peace and relaxation of knowing, "I got my taxes in on time this year." It is peace with God. It is the forgiveness of your sins. It is the wiping away of your debt. It is to know that God, friend, brother or sister, because Christ is your Savior, your hero. In Jesus' resurrection, recorded for us in the Bible, in God's very own word, is all the proof we need. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." That's you, my brothers, my sisters. That's you. Jesus says, "You are blessed." And that's really the reason he came into the world, to give you the blessing of heaven, to give you the blessing of eternal life, to give you the blessing of the forgiveness of sins. And that's why it's written down for us. We heard in verses 20 and 21, when John, or 30 and 31, where John says, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." The purpose of John's gospel, the purpose of Jesus' miracles and signs, the purpose for God preserving his word through the ages, that you might believe in Jesus Christ and have life in his name. He gives us everything we need. He gives us the proof, the witness, the testimony that he is indeed the Savior of the world. He gave Thomas the proof he needed, and he gives us the proof that he really has risen from the dead, that his tomb is empty, that his body is alive, and that one day his empty tomb will be our empty tomb. That one day his glorified body will be like our glorified bodies. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to believe, to trust, to create, to strengthen, and to nourish the faith that lives in our hearts. He gives us all we need because he is the one who won the victory. He is the one who won the war. Our general, our hero, our savior. He's the one who gives us the headline that defines our entire life. Peace be with you. Amen.